corner where the troops at.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense.
You know that we ain't coming back. We got to.
The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys and show, but Dante was my guy.
Get to dashing because he's done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag and Underdog Fantasy. BetOnline continues to be the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for online betting in 2025. Whether you're a seasoned fan or a first-time bettor, BetOnline is your ultimate game day companion. With the largest selection of odds on everything from football, the NBA, college basketball, to NHL and UFC, BetOnline is the number one sports betting source for the new year. From touchdowns to three-pointers and hat tricks, BetOnline has you covered on every game, every play, and every win. BetOnline, the game starts here. Want to make some quick cash and have fun during the NFL playoffs? Well, it's time to embrace your inner underdog. Over the last 3 weeks, we have given 11 selections, and we have cashed on 10 of those, predicting higher or lower on multiple different player statistics. So we are ready to continue this heater into the playoffs. So if you have yet to download the Underdog app, do so now and get free cash. Click the link in the description or use promo code CHIEFCONCERNS, one word, to claim your free pick plus first-time deposit offer up to $1,000 in bonus cash. It's NFL playoff season. So let's continue to keep the good vibes in 2025. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Monday Morning Tight End. On your Monday evening, I'm Marcus Dash, and here with legendary Chiefs tight end, Jason Dunn. And ladies and gentlemen, the season has officially begun. The second season has begun, and it's playoff time, JD. It is playoffs week, divisional week, JD. How you feeling, brother?
It is. I'm very excited about this week coming in. I am ecstatic that we are finally getting to play a football game, finishing up on this three-peat, you know, starting right here with the Houston Texans, bring them into the stadium and give my old country butt-whipping and send them all back to Houston. So I'm very excited about that. I think our guy's going to be incredible with this entire game, and I cannot wait, just like they cannot wait. And I'm sure they feel like it's been forever since they played. And for some guys, it has been. You know, it's been two and a half weeks that they're sitting over here getting ready. But make no mistake, these guys, the whole process they have been out there getting practicing, getting everything together for all of this, Marcus. So just because they haven't been playing a game doesn't mean they haven't been practicing hard and their focus is about winning and doing this three-peat, man. So I'm excited. How you doing, my brother? How's it going?
Doing good, man. Doing good. It's been a long 24 hours for me. We were talking offline. My father checked into the hospital last night, right before the Sunday night game. Ready to watch the Commanders game. He's a big Washington fan, you know, being in the area since 1970, whatever. Huge Commanders fan. And yeah, he was about to pass out and faint before the game. Called 911, took him to the hospital. And right now he's kind of going through some different evaluations right now. They think there could be a blocked artery, but still, he's going to be another night in the hospital. So after the show, I'll be heading back to the hospital to see, Pop. But yeah, I appreciate any love and prayers y'all can send, my way. My dad is a tough cookie. But yeah, we'll definitely appreciate all the prayers and love, y'all can send our way. But yeah, it's been a rough 24 hours, for the Dash household.
Well, brother, I tell you what, man, you hang in there, and I know you will. I know you're very vigilant and all those things, man. And we're going to be putting our prayers in for your father and your family. They're just going to go through. So, I haven't met your dad yet, but I know he's a tough cookie from what everything you have said about him and talked about him. I know that's who he is. And so he has good sons, knowing that they all are taking care of him at this moment, and your mother, too. So, heart goes out to you, man. But we make sure that we are staying vigilant and prayer, keeping you prayed up and lifted. Okay, you know how much we love you. So
appreciate that, man.
Yeah. So you know we always say these things that we do as far as getting out here on the on the podcast, it's kind of therapeutic at times, you know, when things are not necessarily going right in my life, you know, when we have these things that do happen to us, that kind of takes us back. Coming out here, getting on a podcast, get some normalcy in our life, but also too, our support group, you know, people out here, the people that come on our channel, Chiefs Concerned Family, we are tight, we are family, and you know, we know how we feel about you, Tasia, you know, like I said, your parents. So we gonna make sure, man, we gonna hold them up, and everybody out here, if y'all heard that, y'all make sure y'all put a prayer up for his father that everything's gonna go all right. So. Appreciate that, man.
Love you too, buddy. Yeah. Did he get to watch the game? Is he aware the Commanders won? So my mom was going over like the ESPN little game cast in the fourth quarter when it was looking like they were going to win the game. She was kind of going over that during the game. Yeah.
So I know he was aware of that then. You know, it's been a time for since. And I didn't even know it. They hadn't even been in, like, what, the playoffs or even, like, in that place until, what, since, what was it, like, 2005 or something?
They made a playoff. Well, they hadn't won in, like, 20-something years, but they made the playoffs. The Alex Smith year, he came back and, like, made that great comeback when they went to the playoffs, I believe. Gosh.
But they hadn't won a game, though. You say that.
They hadn't won a game. Yeah, they hadn't won a game in forever, like, 20-something years. Like, shoot. Man, like, Patrick Ramsey was the quarterback or Mark Brunell or something crazy. It was a
Jeez.
Yeah, man. I forgot who it was. Might have been Jason Campbell, maybe. I don't know. It's been a long time.
Campbell. Oh my gosh. Some names now. You bring some names up.
Yeah. Yeah. So but yeah, he was happy they won, and he was aware they won. As a matter of fact, last week against the Falcons, he was talking about how he thought he was gonna get a heart attack watching the Falcons in the Commanders game from 2 weeks ago. I was like, okay, all right. And then yeah. But
yeah. See everybody pushing out all the prayers over here. About time, says Marcus. If he's at Hopkins, he'll be there with the wife also. She goes up Wednesday on my birthday. I'll include him on my multiple prayers a day for my wife. Absolutely. Amen. Yeah. About time we're praying for your wife too, doing it. Hopkins. But you're not at a Hopkins though, are you? I didn't
need to give up. We're at Inova Fairfax Hospital. It's a big time hospital in the nation. A lot of people go there for heart things, so it's a good hospital to be at if you're having cardiac issues. So
yeah, wonderful. That's good. That's important. It's important to be in the right place, man, to get the type of care that you need. You know, the healthcare system is something that is that needs to be fixed. Okay, it just does. It just does. I'm not saying anything about that, but I know you said, you know, when we were talking and discussing this, that he's at a good place, you know, for it. So it's beautiful. It's beautiful. So.
That's when I see him after the show. So.
Okay. All right. Well, you take it slow, man. Take it easy. Okay.
We'll do, man. We'll do. But obviously, yeah, guys, I'm seeing in the chat, everyone's kind of upset that the Chiefs don't have the primetime game on Saturday, which we thought last year the one seed had the primetime game, but this year it looks like we got the 4:30 slot on Saturday. I don't know, it doesn't really change anything for us. We're going to all watch the game. We're all going to love it. It's actually better because it's actually an earlier postgame show for us. Instead of doing a midnight postgame show, we have a 7:30 postgame show. So actually, I'm not opposed to an early game on Saturday, JD.
Man, look, the way I look at it, the Chiefs are playing on Saturday. Everybody's going to be watching this. I mean, that's what it is. And a lot of people are going to be watching it for the wrong reasons. They were going to watch it to see if the Chiefs get beat, if they lose. That's exactly what they're there to see. And so all I've seen is a lot of bitter fans from a lot of different bases, fan bases, saying whatever they want to say. My thing is, hey, you know, come and watch the show. Come and watch the show, man. Just look. and I'm going to tell you something. All right. And I've seen some analysts talk about this today, how easy it's going to be. I think I've seen Stephen A. Smith said, I'm not giving them a chance. Or, you know, Shannon Sharpe says he gives them a milk chance with like 2%. I thought that was kind of funny. I'm like, oh, okay. But make no mistake about it, man. These Houston Texans are very serious. They beat the Chargers handily, okay, down there in Houston. And they're really, they are rolling. and they know they want to come and get another shot against Patrick Mahomes up here in Arrowhead, GHA Stadium. They know that. And so we're not going to be sleeping on them. And make no mistake about it, these guys are ready. They are prepared. And Andy's got those guys focused up. They're focused up. They're not listening to all these analysts out here and, you know, coming, you know, the ones that want to jump on a bandwagon until this week and then next week, whoever wins, and jump off of it again. That's what's going to happen, right? But we ride the wave. That's how it is with us. We understand what the Chiefs have, who they are, okay? And we're looking for this repeat. A historic moment is what we're looking for. So it's going to be a great game to watch, Wendy. A great game. Man, let me say hi to everybody here too, Marcus. I ain't even had a chance to say what's up to everybody in here. So, Wendy, you're the first one I get to say hi to. Richie Hallbrand next. About time. Good to see you. Andre Chenault, Mike Brennan, Rick Ledoux. Let me see. G Pick is out here. You see, in the house. I see Neff was out here as well. Neff, love you. Good talking to you. I'm going to call you back. Hearts and Roses. Hearts and Roses is here as well. Let me see who else we got in here. That's the ones I see on this right now, Marcus. So, Sweetie is here. Sarah 73 just pops up. What's up, Sarah 73? What up? What up? What up? So, we up. Yeah, they ready. They ready, man. They ready. Good to see you all. Good to see y'all this evening. But, Marcus, we're going to try to get through this thing kind of quick because we know everybody wants to watch the game as well. You know, we know you have things that you have to do. So, you know, we're going to ask some questions. We're going to talk about a few things. And then we'll move on from there. We'll move on from there. So,
yeah, we'll save our full preview for the Wednesday show, not to preview the game on Saturday. But yeah, tonight, you know, there's no grades. So obviously the questions, like we do in the offseason, Monday is your day. So shoot up the questions you guys have for us and we'll fire them off. And yeah, we'll get out of this faster than our usual shows. Obviously playoff football, you know, gotta enjoy the last few games of the NFL season that we have before it's all over. And also I gotta head back out to the hospital after this, but yeah. Yeah, okay, there you go. You got Rick. What's up, Rick Ledoux? Congratulations to Patrick Mahomes on having his third child.
Yeah. There you go. Hey, Patty. There you go, Pat. There you go, Pat. Get you another one in there. That three-peat? Three-peat right there, ain't it?
There you go. Hey, there you go. That is true. It's also a good luck charm, too. You know, having your kid right as you go for the three-peat, your third child on the year you're going for the three-peat. That's good luck right there, I got to say.
Yeah. Oh, that right there just shows you right there. It's already in the cards. Looking for it. He just birthed the third baby. This is the three people we're going to birth that to. So that's what it is, man. That's how it's going to work. I see it now. Oh, that's beautiful.
It's about time. Super Bowl wins equals babies. He should have 10. Ooh, okay. 10 babies, 10 Super Bowl rings? I'll do that. Yes, we have a new member to the Chiefs Kingdom, Golden Ray, Andre Chenault. Yeah, yeah. JD, talking about this game over the weekend or next Saturday, seeing some fans comment on our video from yesterday, some Texans fans, saying that the Texans are going to shock the NFL world this coming weekend. Not as much as we had when we played the Bills and Ravens leading up to those games. There wasn't as much so far, at least. But when you hear Texas fans talking about that, and obviously in the back of our minds, we all think we're going to win this game. We're a 7.5-point favorite for a reason. Mm-hmm. What would be the kind of the perfect storm in your mind based on what the pros and the things that the Stroud and the Texans do so well and defensively as well versus what our defense and offense can be kind of susceptible to? Whereas, what would be a perfect storm for the Texans to come out and win this game? And what should we, as Chief fans, what should we be weary of when we're going to see this Texans game on Saturday?
You know what? Perfect storm. Optimal thing for them to do, okay, would to come into Arrowhead Stadium, quiet the crowd, move the ball down the field, control the clock, keep the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands, and play good defense. I think it's what it's going to boil down to. And that requires, you know, for them to get a whole lot of sacks. Turnovers is another thing as well. If we come out a little rusty, okay, from this thing, right? And I think that's what people want to see also as well, is they wanted to see if this layoff the guys have is going to be to their detriment, okay? Because you haven't really seen anything like this in I don't know when you could say guys getting that type of rest for this amount of time. And so they're hoping that that's what it is. It's going to be a lot of rust. The timing is going to be off. They're not playing at a high level. That's what they're going to be thinking. But for me, I don't quite see that, Marcus, happening for the simple fact that you got a guy in Andy Reid, okay, your leader, all right? And the leader is the one that makes sure that he captures everybody's emotions, their focus, and exactly what their agenda is. He knows that, right? So he understands all the things that we're thinking about, like the perfect storm, what could happen. They got to have a plan together, like, look, we got to make sure those things do not happen. One thing we got to do, we got to protect the football. Period and point blank. What happened against the Chargers? But then all of a sudden, Justin Herbert throws four interceptions where they have four turnovers, right, during the game. In a way, he had four. Was it four or three that he had for the game? I think it was four, wasn't it? Something crazy?
Yeah,
like, I think it was. Four total turnovers, I think, for the entire game. Maybe not just him, but the entire game, which is hard to just to win altogether, period. Okay? Another thing, too, guys got to be able to make plays. You got to be able to stop some of those big plays. Nico Collins made some big plays, which propelled them to keep going, to get momentum, especially at home. And then, of course, yeah, it was four. Thanks, Rick Ledoux. Thank you. That carried them all through. And so what ended up happening, they got momentum at the end of the half. They got the ball coming about the second half. But Joe Mixon was able to get off a little bit. So they was able to just kind of weather the storm, especially against a good pass rush like the Chargers have. So those are things that we know we got to be able to combat. And Andy does a great job of that. Not just Andy, but we talk about Nagy too. Of course, Spags with that as well. So we got to just keep our minds, you know, together and understand these are the things we cannot do. We cannot allow, okay? We cannot allow Mixon to get hot. We can't let Nico Collins just run around catching footballs all the time. And, of course, we can't let, you know, C.J. Stroud just sit back there and just pick us apart. And then, of course, when we get on the other side of the ball, when we're on offense, we can't have drives that's being stalled. We can't have penalties. We got to protect the football. We got to make sure every single opportunity counts. Every single opportunity counts. You know what we didn't do last time? We didn't do it last time against this team is we didn't run the football enough. We just didn't. Okay? We came out firing and slinging the ball, which I love it. It's great when it happens and it works. Okay, there were some big plays that we missed last time. You know, Justin Watson down the middle for the touchdown, went through his hands, got the one on Xavier Worthy on the sideline where he was out of bounds. Okay, we didn't have that one. Hollywood, I think, also, too, on that same series, missed the one down the sideline as well. So we just got to capitalize on big plays. That's the only thing that we have to do. And we got to be able to run the football effectively. That's another thing. So my thing is, as long as we play within what we're supposed to play within, we're going to be fine. But we can't take these guys as just being like, it's just be another game or a preseason game. This is not that. This is not that whatsoever. This is playoffs. This is a whole different animal altogether. People need to understand that. So yeah, man, that's where I'm at.
Kareem Hunt had a really good game that game. I know you said we didn't run enough. You know, 11 carries, 55 yards. Remember, we talked after the game saying, oh, they need to feed him even more, give him more chances in that game because he was obviously hot in that one. I think I'm seeing someone here say, feed Kareem. Yeah. Baca, 87, unlock Kareem. I agree with you. I agree with you, Baca.
So about time says, didn't we beat them without CJ?
No, he played in that game.
Yeah. Also, too, I think he was saying keep Tooney at left tackle. No, I think Tooney needs to play at left guard. I think DJ Humphrey is our left tackle, and he should be until he shows that he's not or can't be. Tooney at left tackle is, like I said before, it's a contingency plan. That's what it is. But Joe Tooney and DJ Humphreys is a better combination than Tooney and Mike Caliendo at left guard. So we just got to know that. It'll help out in our running game for sure, having DJ Humphreys out there and Joe Tooney on the same side. We can move some people around with them two guys at the point of attack. Double team with those guys moving up, that's exactly what we need. We need to have those two guys absolutely just road grading against these defensive line. We have to have that happen. So,
and one thing I know, because some people didn't like the way we were talking about the Texans game, I guess yesterday, some Texans fans, but we gave the Texans credit. And then we even said CJ Stroud is not getting enough credit for going back to back AFC divisional, taking his team to the divisional 2 years in a row, because people are still talking about Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert, the what could have been story, or what could be story. It's like, no, what is CJ Stroud's going back to back. So it's all love here. I mean, it's just at the end of the day, we just think the Chiefs are going to win this game. And yeah. You guys took us toe-to-toe in that game a couple weeks back. But there's a lot of guys who aren't playing in that game, one of which, Tank Dell, who got hurt in that game, and it looked like C.J. Stroud had never seen an injury before when he saw that. And, you know, you also got to love that, you know, as far as a player showing emotion and love for his guy. You got to love that realness and rawness. But you're not going to have Tank Dell in this game. Deontay Johnson still barely getting playing time in Houston. And you still have a bunch of number twos or number threes and number fours going into that number two spot, who you can make the argument that Tank Dell's a 1A receiver, 1B receiver, not really a number two. He could be probably a number one in many offenses in the league. Absolutely. And you don't have him. And now you're trotting out Deontay Johnson, Robert Woods, I mean, Xavier Hutchinson. I mean, these guys who aren't Tank Dell, and Tank Dell was taking our lunch money that day. And now we can focus more on Nico and kind of, you know, let the rest of our guys kind of try to, you know, stop and neutralize their other weapons. But Tank Dell not playing, I think, is probably one of the biggest factors for me saying I think we can win this game by a couple touchdowns.
Well, let's hope so. As long as we do everything that I said before, we have to do, right? Take care of the football, make sure we make some tackles. We got to cover some guys, though. Even without Tank Dell, we still got to cover some guys. And if Deontay Johnson comes out and he plays a little bit, we know he's a very good receiver in the slot. Not to mention, you had Mitchie. They got the other guy. I keep forgetting the other guy. The one that caught the first ball. I know you know who I'm talking about. Shoot. Anyway. And then Schultz. But also, too, I was thinking about the other wide receiver. I can't think of his name.
Hutchinson?
Hutchinson. There it is. Hutchinson. Oh, Hutch. So, you know, he'll show up every once in a while, but we still got to cover some guys. Nico Collins is one of the top premier wide receivers in this league. He has ascended himself to that position, at least for me, he has. And so he showed, actually, last game, even though Tank Dell was the one that did his end, Nico still caught a couple balls on us. And so Josh Williams had to do a good job. Same thing with McDuffie. Same thing with Najee. Do we get to see a little bit of Nelson this week? That's another question, Marcus. That we have to find out. So if we able to have that going into this playoff and in this run, I like it. Shoot, I don't just like it. I love it. I love it. So our guys can be healthy. You know, we got to just make sure, man, we're putting our hands on the wide receivers. We got to make sure we stop Schultz from getting, you know, catching some footballs. He scored a touchdown on his last time. Same thing with Mixon. You know, he does a great job of catching the ball out the backfield. And don't get him going. Once you do that, you bring some pressure. You do some things that they're not going to be able to see as well. Rick Ledoux says, Jalen should be back. Rick, we don't know what shape Jalen's going to come in. Hopefully he comes back, man, and he's Superman if he's going to get some playing time. I don't know. I haven't heard as far as, like, how he looks in practice. I haven't heard any of those things, Marcus. Have you? You know, so.
Nothing.
Is he in full condition? That's another thing, too. So even if you cycle him in, that might be better. But we'll just have to see.
When we talk about Steven Nelson, and we talked about some of the – we have a few guys on the team who, you know, played on this Houston team, Charles Omenihu being one, Steven Nelson being another one, Justin Reed being another one. We have a lot – there's a lot of Houston Texans Chiefs crossovers in this one. Of all those guys, I've seen some people say Charles Omenihu is going to have a game this weekend. And we don't know if Steven Nelson's going to play this weekend, but all the kind of Houston Texans Chief crossover guys, who do you anticipate having the more game or the bigger game of the three, I guess I would say, between Nelson, Reed, and Amenahu?
I think Amenahu would be. I do. Because now you've given Amenahu a couple more weeks to get that knee healthy. And I think he's probably going to benefit more than anybody else from this type of rest. Especially, you know, he was ahead of schedule just getting back. So him having another couple of weeks where he's, you know, is able to get his knee just right, I think he's going to do well for us. It'd be good to see Justin Reed. I think Justin Reed, he'll have a hell of a game. Hope he does, because he's going to need to. Justin Reed's going to have a hell of a game for us to win this game. So
just keep his ass away from Nico Collins on a one-on-one.
Don't do that. Don't do that. We got other guys to do it, you know, so.
And how can I forget DeAndre Hopkins? That might be the one, right, JD, between him and Amenahu, I would say, actually.
Yeah, he could. I hope so. He's another one that benefited off his rest. Because I know he's ready to go. I know D-Hop is ready to go, man. He's a guy that we would want to get him a ring. He deserves it. He came here specifically for that reason. Specifically for that reason. We got to make sure we give it to him. If we get in a tight spot at any point, Pat needs to be looking not just for just Travis, but also for D-Hop. And I guarantee that Joker right there is going to pull it down, you know? So dreadlock roster is going to do it for us. So.
Well, that's the thing with D-Hop, Witchie Hall says it wasn't D-Hop's last playoff appearance with the Texans against us. I believe so. He might have had one with the Cardinals, but an early exit. But his last Texans appearance in the playoffs was against us. And, you know, that game, 24-0, comeback, baby. But, JD, the one thing, D-Hop's an interesting one because, you know, there was this whole speculation that the Chiefs were kind of keeping him under that 50% snap threshold so they didn't have to trade him a fourth. It was going to be a fifth-round pick. And at the end of the day, we kept him under that 50%, and we're not trading him a fourth. We're trading him a fifth. So we won that battle. But now that's gone. Do you anticipate, obviously we anticipate, oh, I you'd agree, probably a higher snap count for D-Hop now. And do you anticipate kind of now that it's playoffs, it's a shorter season. We don't know if this is it for D-Hop. Could be, might not be. But we'll probably see the most D-Hop snaps, you think, going forward in this playoffs? Kind of just go out and put it all out there.
It just depends. It depends on what we want at a particular place. What I've seen these past few weeks. And what I anticipate, especially during this playoff run, is we're going to have a heavy dose of Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown, and D-Hop. Not to mention, I'm just going to the question with New Life Every Day asks, do you think they're going to get Travis involved early and often? And I do. You have to get Travis involved early and often. You look for a guy to show up. One guy you can always count on is Travis Kelce. Okay, Kelce going to make sure he's going to get his. He's going to make sure everybody else is taken care of around him as well. So when you want to see another guy step his game up, go to a whole different place, Travis Kelce's the guy to do it. All right? He's going to get everybody else around him on the same page. That's what I'm saying, man. I'm just so excited. So no, offensively, man, those guys are going to be able to make plays. That is a hell of a lineup right there, Marcus. I'm just anticipating. Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, D-Hop, Travis Kelce, you got Noah Gray, you got also two, Kareem Hunt, and you got Isaiah Pacheco. And you got Patrick Mahomes throwing the ball to those guys, facilitating it. Sign me up, man. Come on. We should not, if our defense holds up, which I know they will, because they're very stingy defense, all we need to do offensively, score 20 points, 24 points, we good. Let's go. We should be straight, okay? We should be.
If people are pointing to Travis Kelce on Pat McAfee's show. Two things of that. Obviously, what he said on there, he made a couple of good comments on there. But number one, he's got a playoff beard back, and, you know, dangerous things happen when Travis Kelce has his playoff beard, and that thing was full. I don't know if he's dying it still, JD, but that thing was nice and full and nice and dark. He said on there, talking about, you know, his age, and everyone always loves to talk about his age and regression. But on that podcast, he talked about on Pat McAfee's show, he said he's feeling 22, obviously a Taylor Swift song, feeling 22. But he's feeling young. The 3 weeks off, like you said, it was going to pay off dividends for a lot of the older guys in the squad, and one being him. And that's going to come out to be huge.
Yeah. Look, and the guy will tell you how he feels. Travis tell you exactly how he feels. You feel like he's 22 years old. It's beautiful for us. It's beautiful. And it's just telling me right now that he doesn't have any serious issues as far as with his body, how he's feeling. You know, feeling 22 right now, I think a lot of it has to do with the playoffs in itself, okay? And knowing that they have a chance and opportunity to do something historic that's never been done before. So these guys, they haven't left or lost anything as far as like what the main thing needs to be, okay? The main thing is still the main thing, right? It's not about getting MVP of the league. It's not about getting all these different accolades that doesn't equate to having a Lombardi. And Lombardi is what that is, okay? Pure and simple, pure and simple. See, somebody was asking a question. Rick Ledoux said, here's a good question. Who do you think is better, Travis Kelce or Rob Gronkowski? That's a very good question. Very good question. Two different guys, man. Two different games. That's the way I look at it. Travis, man, the way his yak yards and the things he's able to do, it's hard to see. I've said this, Rick Ledoux. The two best tight ends ever played a game are Chiefs guys, okay? It's Tony Gonzalez and Travis Kelce, okay? So that answers your question. I think Travis is definitely better than Rob. Right. Rob was a bad boy, no doubt about it. But as far as what Trav gives and what he's done out there, longevity is wise as well. Like, you know, same thing with Tony, TG. I think definitely that. No, no, everybody, go ahead,
Marcus. Now, I was going to ask you, I don't think we've ever talked about this before, but what are your thoughts? I don't think I've ever really talked about this aspect before. But Kelce, you know, Kelce, when Iverson came into the league, right, Iverson kind of was this – he was beyond the basketball court. He was kind of like – he kind of changed the culture, right? You know, guys are dressing differently. You know, it was the whole – different when Iverson came, like, right, guys weren't like, you know, suits anymore. It was you just changed it, and now we see guys going to games in different outfits, all that stuff. And you could say Iverson kind of broke that mold by, you know, kind of breaking the traditional mold of guys going to games with suits on, all that stuff. It was beyond basketball, it became a bigger thing. And you think Kelce's kind of done the same thing, maybe not for the NFL, but like for the tight end position itself, making it a cooler position, making people know what it is more, kind of breaking the mold of like, hey, like tight ends can date famous pop stars and rock stars too. It's not only quarterbacks doing that, right? Tight ends can be that guy. Tight ends can have their reality show. Tight ends can have this badass podcast, right? It's not only retired players doing it. It's current people doing that. And I think he's like kind of changed the game in a way. It has his own cereal. It's like tight ends weren't really getting that notoriety. NFL players were, sure, that your quarterbacks and wide receivers were. The tight ends, not so much, right?
Well, shoot, I would even say just for the NFL players. I don't know any NFL player that has done the extensive body of work that Travis has done, especially in you know, commercials, TV shows, you know, kind of be iconic, you know, dating certain, you know, as far as the biggest pop star, there's been guys that's been close, right? There's been guys that has been close. But for his character, his personality and whatnot, I can't think of anybody right now who has been, I guess, at least on that level that they've put out there, like, you know what I mean? Like, as far as face-wise, who's done something like that, especially while they're playing, maybe after the game, sure. Maybe the biggest one, you know, was Tom Brady and Giselle, right? Everybody was kind of talking about. But Tom Brady wasn't on, you know, as far as, you know, TV and stuff. He was never that guy.
He was a QB too. I mean, it was like QB. That's already kind of built into the whole thing. Like, you need to be able to have that marketability aspect. You need to be able to sell a brand. Where tight ends, not really, right? You guys are in the trenches. You guys are kind of gritty. But like, he's kind of taken that. Like, he's kind of made tight end more of a QB type position because everyone knows it, and people who don't even watch football know who he is, know what a tight end is. He's changed it.
He has transcended the thing to the point of being where now the whole world knows who he is, you know, and a lot of it maybe with Taylor Swift, of course, but then all of a sudden more people start watching football. They're like, oh, well, now look what else he's doing. Now look what else he's in. Now look what else he's, you know, and he has a lot of like, you know, some comedy chops to him as well. So that's almost on the plane of like Peyton. Peyton does a good job with it. I like Peyton and his him and Eli. Them jokers are funny. That was two funny jokers right there. But other than that, man, I can't think of anybody that was playing and was doing what they were doing. I think somebody put up at Jim Brown. Mike Brennan said Jim Brown. Yeah, I mean, kind of the time, man, but Jim, it was like a different time. Mike, you know, just for the simple fact with how the exposure guys get now. It's a lot different. I don't know. Jim Brown wasn't dating, you know, the biggest pop star either. You know, I know Jim was doing, a few movies here and there. But as far as that, yeah, I didn't really see.
And also, too, like, I feel like even we're both big TG fans and, like, you know, big football fans, right? So, yeah. Like, I feel like, you know, TG didn't change the game so much so that you had casual kids. Like, my brother said, like, for the freshmen, because he was a freshman coach, he said the eighth graders, like, you know, right before they go, because where we have school, we don't have middle school football. So it's like middle school teams have, like, your local youth clubs. And then eighth grade going to ninth grade year, that's where, like, you know, you start to meet with the high school coaches and all that stuff. He said he had two lines that were the most full this year of guys who wanted to play a certain position. What were those two positions that had the most amount of kids who wanted to play those positions? Quarterback and tight ends. Those are two positions that people want to play the most. When I was growing up, you had to, like, make kids, like, take them out of the receiver, like, nah, or lineman, like, nah, you could be a tight end. But, like, the fact that kids are flocking to tight end positions, kids are flocking to QBs now, it's no coincidence. It's the time where, like, the main – one of the big stars in the world right now is dating a tight end who happens to be one of the – you can't watch TV for five – you can't watch TV with 20 minutes without seeing a Jason Kelce or Travis Kelce commercial or some sort anymore. You just can't avoid it anymore.
I think there's a number of reasons because of that, right? So if we're thinking, there's a lot of different variables, okay? So I'll talk about a couple of them here. Obviously, it is, you know, the exposure that you're seeing with Travis Kelce. But I also do believe, and you know this as well, in high school, you kind of get into a body type, which you don't quite know where you stand, right? You got a lot of guys in high school who are linebacker, tight end-esque type of, you know, size. Now coaches also seeing the benefit of having a tight end who can catch a football and also block. That's another thing I think that Travis brings to the table that he does a lot of too, that people don't really give him a lot of credit for, is the blocking that he has. Now, kind of talking about what you were saying about like TG, and I think a lot of it had to do with, you were talking about it, primetime TV. You know, when me and TG were playing, we didn't really have primetime TV games like it is now. Yeah, I mean, you got how many Netflix, Prime? I mean, you name it. I mean, they're on everything. YouTube. There's no way, no reason, but there's no reason why you can't see an NFL football game. Social media, thank Rick, that's another thing too. And so it was just a different time where guys are now being able to be seen. So if you now see a guy who's doing SNL, doing skits, him and his brothers doing a podcast, is very successful. It's just different. So I know here in Kentucky, there's a lot of games people didn't get to see because the market out in Kansas City would get to see the games there. And it was hard to find like a jersey of Kansas City here or hard to get a Kansas City game out this way. Yep. And it's just because of the TV deals and stuff like that, the way it was structured was totally different. So yeah. I think that's some of the variables.
Back when you played, I mean, we were lucky to get like two prime time games, or like lucky to have a 4:25 game with the Chiefs Raiders kind of thing. But like, yeah, it was very rare to have a prime time Chiefs game. But yeah, I mean, maybe two a year, like a Sunday night and a Monday night game, like a Sunday night against the Raiders at the end of the season, and maybe like an early season Monday night game or something.
Yeah, that's true. That's the way it was. So they named the guys that been out there. Broadway Joe, my nephew says Broadway Joe. Broadway Joe was kind of he. I think he was the one that kind of broke the mold a little bit, you know, kind of during that time, you know, as far as the way he was viewed. Obviously, shout out to Fred Williamson. Yep, the hammer. Old school about time. Old school about. I want to ask you age about time, but that's you saying some names out there, man. You saying some names. Yeah, be around about my age.
Tony Romo, remember Jessica Simpson when she was at the top of her game too? That was a big deal.
It was, you know, but you know, Jessica Simpson was
she was pretty big at the time.
She was.
She fell off big time like shortly thereafter.
No, pretty girl. Pretty girl too. That was another thing, you know. So but Tony Romo was it's just, I think, yeah, markability. Somebody else said it, markability as well. So that's what people want to, they want to find people that have that type of personality and character. And Travis, he embodies all of that. He embodies being a superstar. Really does.
Yeah, and also, Joe, I just think, like, quarterbacks, the dawn of time have always been kind of that star, like, right? We talk about that. The teams, you know, we still to this day, like when Fox shows up their graphic, oh, we're talking about the Bengals and it's Joe Burrow versus the I don't know, even Brock Purdy, 49ers, it's Brock Purdy's graphic. It's like, why are those two the faces of the team you're putting out there when you're talking about those two teams against each other? It's just the quarterback. It's what it is. That's the ones they're putting out there in the forefront. Of course, they're always going to be the ones out there. But then, you know, Kelsey's breaking the mold for tight ends to, be the position that everybody wants to be and be the guy that, you know, celebrities want to date now. There you go.
Yeah. My nephew said, no, I say no. OJ.
I almost said it earlier.
hey, that's true. That's true. And then all of a sudden, that sucker, the dude turned sour. You know, all the wrong reasons. Well, he started getting pub. But before that, man, you know.
He was hilarious in Naked Gun.
Yeah, he was. You know, jumping over the bags over in the airport for Hertz.
That's right,
So, okay. Rick Henderson is saying this. I cringe every time I have to watch a game with Tony Romo. The man won't shut up. He goes on and on and on and on. I'm gonna give you my opinion. I like Tony Romo as an analyst. I think he does a hell of a job. I really do. Matter of fact, I enjoy listening to him more than anybody else that's out there as far as calling the game. The reason is, he gives you the perspective from the quarterback, how he would do it and how he sees things. And I love where his mind goes because he anticipates what offenses will do and what defenses do as well. He's still reading the field like the quarterback. And so I think he does a great job. I do. Now, obviously, people say that he salivates over Joe Burrow and all those other guys and Josh Allen and whatnot. That don't really bother me as much. I do find my time at times he'll say something like, what? Like, what are you saying? But he'll pull it back every once in a while. He'll pull it back. But for me, I like him and I like Troy. I think him and Troy do a great job. You know?
Yeah, I was gonna say Romo, I mean, yeah, all these guys do it. I mean, if you watch Collinsworth every Sunday night, he thinks that whatever he's watching that night is the best play of the year or the best quarterback he's seen all season, or the best throw he's seen all season. It's hyperbolic, always going to be that way, and you kind of have to be. To make these games exciting sometimes when they're blowouts, you kind of have to make them exciting. But the question I wanted to ask, JD, because you were talking about color guys. So obviously Brady's first year, and I think he has some growing pains there. He'll take his lumps. He's got time. When Romo first came out, he wasn't the best at doing this. But Brady, Romo, Herb Street, Greg Olson, Troy Aikman, or Chris Collinsworth, who is probably the bottom of that pack right now?
I tell you who's the top, Trent Green.
Ooh, okay, Trent. Okay,
don't sleep on Trent. Don't sleep on 10, baby. Don't sleep on 10. I love hearing his voice because it's like I'm in a huddle every time he's sitting there talking. Trent is so professional, man. He's patient with everything, and he does a great job in his assessment too. But the bottom of the barrel of all those guys, man.
Because do you despise Collinsworth as much as a lot of fans do? A lot of fans cannot stand listening to him. I've heard people like put him on mute and they listen to the Chiefs radio instead of listening to him.
he had some good moments. Some moments is just like, ah, man. Like I said it the other night, my wife was sitting there. I'm like, what is he talking about? Like, why is Chris saying what he's saying? And so I think, yeah, maybe Chris might be down there. But I think he just kind of started falling away from it. Before then, I used to enjoy listening to Chris. But I think he does a good job too. He'll go off somewhere else on things. And I'm just like, hey man, really, you back? Come on back, Chris. Come on back. So darn slap nut. That's a deal right there. Oh, slap nut.
Rich Gannon was solid at it. Steve Berline was also pretty good at it too. Not a Berline guy.
You know what? I can't even remember them doing it as much. Seriously.
Yeah.
You know, to give you like opinion on it.
Yeah, I don't even know if he still does it anymore. But at one point he was CBS always trying to grab the quarterbacks, right? They have Green. I don't know if Gannon still does it. He did it for a good minute. Obviously Trent still does it. But yeah,
Herb Street is another one. Like Herb Street is okay to me. He's just okay.
Pretty vanilla.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. But I guess for me, and Tom, I think Tom did a decent job. I think Tom did a good job this year.
Really?
He's gotten better. And the reason I say this is because I think you got to understand Tom's personality, right? I think it goes into like understanding who Tom is. So don't expect him in measuring against everybody else as far as like what the analysis is. Tom's going to give you how he feels about it. And I think he's very direct, simple about what he's saying, talks about the game. Same thing, he sees it the way he sees, like when he's still as being a quarterback. I think he misses the game. You hear how he's talking, how he's speaking. He knows he wishes he's out there as far as doing it. So, but I like Tom. He's gotten better. He has gotten better.
Yeah, I will say that from first game of the season to now, yeah, he's gotten marginally better. Greg Olsen. I thought Greg Olsen kind of got hosed that whole deal with him bringing Brady over, making him the immediate number one guy. Where Greg Olsen, I believe, won like two Emmys for a play caller at the sports announcer awards. He was the head guy with Kevin Burkhardt, and then Brady comes, and then they drop into the number two guy. I thought Greg Olsen was pretty good. What did you think about Greg Olsen? I know you have affinity for the tight ends. What did you think about him?
I think he was just okay. I don't think he did anything special. Yeah. I think Romo was better than Olsen. That's my opinion.
Whoa. Romo better than Olsen?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What about Brady Olsen?
No, Olsen better than Brady.
Okay. Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I agree. Yes. G-Pick, I'm with you. I wish Gus Johnson still called games. He was fantastic. I know the beauty about him, because obviously college football, just the Fox College Football, but for some reason, I think in his contract, he's allowed to do NBA playoff games. So he does NBA playoff games on NBA TV sometimes. So some of the NBA playoff games on NBA TV, Gus Johnson calls those. I love hearing Gus Johnson call games.
And that's
play-by-play, not the color guy. But, yeah, play-by-play, Gus Johnson. Give me Gus Johnson. Give me Gus Johnson. Give me Chris Fowler. Give me Ian Eagle. I'll take those guys all day long. Al Michaels, back in his prime, maybe. Maybe not Al Michaels right now, but Al Michaels in his prime was peak.
Yeah, I ain't seen too much about Gus Johnson in a minute, man. But yeah, Gus is pretty good.
Yeah, Gus is one of those guys. Even if it's like a 15-yard gain, he makes that sound like it's a freaking touchdown every time.
So the barbershop said, "I hate when Tony Romo calls our games." I love it. I do. I like Tony. I think he does a good job, man. You see, Choco G, I became a Chiefs fan when Trent and Dick Vermeil came to the team. Loved all you guys back there, man. Appreciate you saying so, sir. Thank you so much. Good guys right there, too. Dick Vermeil, incredible man. Trent, incredible teammate, brother of mine. Love those guys. Appreciate you saying so. Mm-hmm. So Hearts and Roses says, at this point in the season, they all kind of get on my nerves. Some will. I love hearing people's opinions, you know, because, you know, we do it in a podcast. Obviously, I talk a lot. I like running my mouth. and I'll sit here and I'll text my guys. We'll talk about a lot of different things, different plays, what's going on in the game. So I love it. I love just sitting back here and talking about these things. I really do. And listening to what guys have to say. And some I'm like, oh, man, that's an idiot thing to say. Who's the guy? Well, he's a NFL, but they said he was the worst commentator ever this past year. I think he played offensive line or something.
Matt Millen?
No. He's a new guy. So, somebody help me out. Let me see. But he was known as like the worst commentator, you know, analyst.
Not Mark Schlereth. Mark Schlereth is pretty good.
Yeah, Mark's okay. No, not Jeff Saturday. No.
He's doing color commentating for games.
Yes. Huh. But they voted him as like the worst commentator. He's offensive lineman. Okay, he's brand new. He's only been probably this past year. I think he's on the NFL Network, if I'm not mistaken. But the thing was, when he's calling the game, he's calling it just like offensive lineman is, and they have a very particular character. They have a very particular sense of humor on how they do things. So I could see, I'm like, oh yeah, he's an offensive lineman for sure. Because these guys, the way that they act and who they are, they're different guys. And you just got to know it. They just got to know those things. Jeff Saturday, 9-1. Jeff. He's a full tight end. He's a new dude. Hold on, Marcus. Let me see. Oh, man.
You say it's NFL Network or is it?
I think it is NFL Network. Let me see.
Calls games. Well, I know this year they.
Ross Tucker.
Oh, yeah. Ross Tucker. He does radio, doesn't he?
No. No. Hold on. Let me see. I'm gonna send this picture to you. Okay.
Yeah. No, I know who Ross Tucker is. I thought he was doing radio. I didn't know he was.
Oh no. Yeah. He was doing. Yeah.
He's got some interesting takes. He's got some good tweets too. Like he usually puts some good analysis and stuff and like good numbers. I think he's got like a betting podcast as well.
Oh, does he? Okay. All right.
So, are you a fan or no?
You know what? I'm somewhat of a fan. I remember I was hearing him. I was like, who was this guy? Who was this guy sitting there talking? And I looked him up and it was Ross Tucker. I'm just like, oh, makes sense. Offensive lineman. Like it makes sense. He sounds like an offensive lineman would be doing a game. You know, of course, sometimes the way he speaks and how he talks, you know, it's just kind of like this, you know, they're like funny guys. I don't know if offensive lineman. You've been around offensive linemen. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. And there's no shade to offensive linemen at all. I love you guys, you know, but we know that they have a very particular type of sense of humor. They really do. So,
Andrew Whitworth doesn't call games, but he's good on their pregame show. He's not an offensive lineman. He's a tight end. Anthony Becht, he does college games. Anthony Becht's pretty good.
Oh, is he? Okay, Adam. I haven't seen Beck do it. I don't know. When did he start doing it?
He's been doing college games for a good amount of time on ESPN. Like he doesn't do any of their main games, usually like ESPN2 or ESPNU like games. But he's pretty good. I like Anthony Beck. I was an Anthony Beck fan. Yeah, tight ends are different. Well, you know, you, Travis Kelce, you got Tony. You guys know what you're doing on the mic and on the camera, JD.
Yeah. We try to. Rick Rose said, I thought Dan Dierdorf did a good job back in the day. He did. Dan did. I like Dan. And Wendy said, Tucker could turn into a comedy schnick. Yes, he could. I mean, that's who he is. That's how funny it is. That's why I was like, man, who's this guy speaking? Who is saying this? But it does seem like somebody would be in a locker room talking and have just spent these jokes. So, yeah.
What was he telling him back in the day? The There's Paul McGuire, Joe Theismann, and who's a third guy on the Monday night crew or Sunday night crew back in the day on ESPN? Paul McGuire, Theismann, and gosh, slipping my name. Mike Patrick, I believe.
Okay.
Those are that was a good tandem back in the day. I always loved Paul McGuire, and obviously Theismann, local hero around these parts. But I love those three. And they would talk about guys like nicknames, like when it was like Theismann would say, "Yeah, I was talking to Richie Gannon the other day." Like Richie Gannon, no one calls him Richie Gannon, but Theismann's calling him Richie on the airway.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he's calling Richie. I'm guaranteed he's calling Richie too in his face.
Oh, yeah. Richie. Yeah. Thoughts we can do every once. So certain guys who can get away with calling. Certain guys
get away with it. That's for sure. He's one of them for sure. Definitely.
Yeah, we're catching like the old Monday night ABC guys. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's all.
Yeah. So I'm going to ahead and give a shout out, man, to my nephew, man. Just let him know, man. Hey, look, better next luck next year. Okay. I know it's a rough one. Watching the Green Bay Packers get their heads beat in by Philadelphia Eagles. But, you know, hey, man, how it works sometimes in the league. Did you see where the book that A.J. Brown was reading on the sideline went to, like, number one on Amazon?
Inner Excellence?
Yes. Went to, like, number one.
Wow.
Yeah, the dude was like, man, I went and checked, you know, to see where he was. I think it was, like, 500,000 or something like that. And then it's like number one. That you cannot buy that type of publicity at all in marketing. You can't. To have something like somebody's reading your book on the sideline on primetime game, everybody's like, search it. He's like, I've never been higher than, he said, 8,000 or 9,000. Here I am. So.
The NFL's different, man. I hope people see what the NFL can do for people because, like, just like
power.
That.
Power. Power. Last book I read was Who Moved My Cheese? Very good book. Yeah. My cousin, man, he's read that and swears by it. It's a good book. It's, you know, I've read all of it. I read most of it. So.
Yeah. Chad, my condolences, buddy, for the Packers. It was up and down season. Didn't start off so hot with Love getting her out the gate on that Hail Mary in week one against the Eagles, and came full circle against the Eagles losing at the end of the year. But it's all right. My boy Baker, he got butt fumbled last night to lose the game as well. That definitely hurt them. So it's all right. At least we both got the Chiefs now, Chad.
I know he's going for the Chiefs. Lonnie Pyramid asked, man, how did your nephew become a Packers fan? That's a very good question. It's a very good question. Something he had to answer. I'm not quite sure how he got that. You know, somebody asked me the other day, say, well, JD, who was your fan? Who was your fan of when you grew up? You know, because I'm in proximity of like Cincinnati. And I'm just like, you know what? I used to like Cincinnati. I said, but I'm more of a, like a player guy. I like players from different teams. I'm just Reggie White, the Reverend. Reggie White, that's why he became it. Okay. I was going to say it, Neff. I wasn't quite sure, but I thought that we had that conversation before. Reggie White, you know, the minister of sacks, he was the guy that did it. So, but yeah. I said I'm always a fan. I'm a fan of, like, players in the NFL. Wasn't really a particular team that I liked. But my guy, man, without a doubt, was Sweetness. You know, that was my dude right there, man. That was my guy for sure. And so, you know, Walter Payton, man, that joker was incredible. Incredible to see.
You didn't follow, like, Chris Collinsworth? I mean, right there in Cincinnati, you know?
Yeah.
You didn't grow up idolizing Chris Collinsworth?
No. I didn't, and for real, man, I didn't really know Chris Collinsworth was that dude. I had no idea. I'd do homework on Chris Collinsworth. I'm like, dang, God. Like, your son was like that. And I don't know.
He was, man. Crazy. When I learned that, I was like, oh, my God, that's wild.
Me too.
Yeah, I was watching, like, the old, like, Steve Sable, like, football, like, the documentaries on those games.
Yes, sir.
And I'm watching the Niners Bengals, and I see Collinsworth, Chris Collinsworth, with the grab. I'm like, Chris Collinsworth. Is that the same one? I did a little research. I'm like, holy crap, that's him.
Bad boy, man. Bad boy. I was like, look at Chris. Go ahead, boy. Go on, get it. It's almost like a, did you see that? I know we're just kind of talking right now. You know, apologize. We're going, but I forgot what who was. They were talking about Kwame Brown. And say Kwame Brown would sit there and say, man, some doctor wanted to see my hands, said he could help out over here with my dribbling and stuff like that. They was like, a doctor said that? He was like, yeah. He's like, he's out here. I don't know who he is, but he keeps saying that he could help me with my hands and rebound and stuff. He said, I don't know what this dude is talking about. So the guys were kind of like, oh, okay. Well, who's he talking about? They said they go out and they see it's Dr. J. That's who the doctor was. He didn't know who Dr. J was. You know, I mean, funny, but also, too, it just shows you, like, who's not really doing their homework, you know, for guys to go, you know, get past them, you know? That's true. So we got to talk about eras, right? How many young guys really know about, like, a Tony Gonzalez or, you know, Gaethje, right? So if you're in like, the era of, like, a Rob Gronkowski, you know, Travis Kelce, you know, Graham and all those guys, you're not going to see all those guys that came before that, right? You're just missing the Tony Gonzalez and the Shannon Sharp, okay? You definitely get to see a Kellen Winslow, you know, senior. You didn't get to see in those guys. Ben Coates. Man, come on now. Ben Coates. Green, you know what I'm saying? So Eric Green up there, Pittsburgh. Shoot, we talking about, you know, my era of guys like tight ends that was coming out that was just monsters. So, Jay Novacek. I mean, come on. So, there it is. DG is still the best tight end. Choke G, I said, man, we got the best in the business, man. Kansas City, no question about it. Lau Alzado. Yeah. So.
All right, final question, Wendy. You get the final question. Are y'all looking forward to the Super Bowl halftime show, JD?
Sure.
It's Kendrick, isn't it?
It's Kendrick Lamar. Yeah.
Did we talk about this being kind of, they should have gone with an Atlanta star for the, or not Atlanta, New Orleans, a New Orleans star for New Orleans?
Well, I think the controversy was saying like Lil Wayne should have been the guy. Should have been, you know, Kendrick Lamar. I believe that maybe you might see, you know, Lil Wayne coming out, making a cameo, possibly. Just all the guys from down there, the group. Hot Boys, you know.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
It would be. So,
they got tread lightly though. Drake's coming for all everyone who's going to that song. He's coming for everybody.
He's trying to.
I mean, did you see LeBron story?
No, kind of not really, man. I'm gonna be honest. I haven't really followed this beef because I really don't care, to be honest with you. You know what I'm saying? I really just, I'm like, whatever. For real. I think it's all silly. But what did he say about LeBron? What was the whole deal with LeBron?
Apparently he texted somebody. Apparently him and LeBron are really close. And then he's been very upset to see that LeBron, like a lot of clips that he posts online, going back to summer, is him like singing lyrics to Not Like Us, and that's got him really upset. And he told someone, kind of alluded to LeBron would go to Canada to cheat on his wife and whatnot, and he could probably pretty much expose him, pretty much threatening to expose LeBron for like. And he's butthurt about LeBron being a big fan of that song that kind of calls him a pedophile in the song, a lyric that calls him a pedophile, which is just silly. The whole thing is really silly and petty, but that's kind of where that's at right now.
Yeah, it is pettiness. That's why I don't follow. I'll let petty. I'll let salacious petty stuff, Marcus. Oh man, I don't fool with. I think it's silly. You know what I mean? That Drake needs to grow up. Shoot, sucker got as much money in the world, man. Why you doing beef? Leave the beef alone. If you just trying to keep the thing going, fine. Whatever, I get it. It's part of like, you know, trying to create something just so everybody can follow. So, but I'm out with all that craziness.
Well, it's also like, it'd be one thing if Drake never like said anything bad to Kendrick. I mean, in the songs, I listened to some of the songs back and forth. Drake was saying stuff back to Kendrick. If Drake never said anything to Kendrick at all, and then Kendrick just came out with the song to diss him, then I understand you being upset. But like, you were saying some pretty awful stuff too back to Kendrick as well in your songs too. So it's like, you're not innocent.
No, definitely not innocent, you know? And they were talking about Culture Vulture. Lionel Pirmer said he was telling the truth about Drake. Yeah, everybody knew kind of Drake. We had that little bit of, you know, that stabbing in your back mentality. You know that. You know, a lot of these rappers, you know, a lot of those dudes, you know, kind of became what they were. Maybe had the life that they say they talk about. So it's whatever, man. Drake's good with how he's doing it. I like his music. I think he's been very talented when he's able to do it. But he had a whole lot of ghostwriters, a whole lot, okay? Those guys don't get credit like they should. And that's what I hate about it. Like, ghostwriters don't really get the credit like they should. That's the problem and issue they have. But this right here has got me, I'm over here laughing. Wendy said, where is it at? Oh, my gosh. I don't know. See? She says, DJ Academics and said Drake trafficked white girls for LeBron.
Yeah.
First off, DJ Academics. That sucker right there. I don't watch that. He's a fool. I don't listen to that sucker either.
I mean, the whole thing's, we jumped the shark with this whole thing. It was one thing, it was just kind of isolated to just a rap battle, but then you have more things coming out of it. Like, a guy wants to expose somebody for cheating on his wife because, like, he's upset that he thought he was boys with LeBron. LeBron's like, you know, and one of the things I think I saw Charlamagne the God said, like, I'd be kind of mad too if I was Drake. He goes, I'm not excusing Drake for doing this. I'd be kind of mad at Drake too. You know, like, Drake doesn't know lyrics to any songs, but all of a sudden the first song you hear him play, know a lyric song so much is that song. It's like dissing me. And all of a sudden LeBron, like, knows lyrics to this song, like, through and through. And apparently there's a clip, which I didn't see, but Charlamagne the God was talking about over the summer, during the Summer Olympics. Mm-hmm. It was a workout during the Olympics, and LeBron had that song on repeat during the workout. Steph in the video clip goes, can we change the songs or any other music? And LeBron goes, nah, the song's dope. So they let the song on repeat during the game.
Hey, look, man. It's a catchy beat. It's a catchy song. It's hard not to hear, right? You ain't supposed to listen to that, man. You're supposed to be my friend. Like, hey, man, it's you. Like, it's clever. It's a good beat. Whatever, you know. What am I supposed to be in my closet listening to this stuff?
Yeah.
Man, come on, man. That's funny. That's funny. That drink is petty. I love it. Oh, my goodness. Oh, y'all something else on here. Yeah. Clickbait, sure. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'm getting Tyler, man. It's shoot. All of them need to grow up. How about that? All of them need to grow up.
Yeah.
You know, at a certain point, it's like, yo, Kendrick did his thing, did the diss album, killed the game, okay? Killed Drake. Hard for him to recover off of that, right? Sometimes you have to wave the right flag, like, oh, he got me. You got me, okay? Cool. But he's been trying to put song after song after song to get at it. And it seemed like, man, you got to keep putting songs out to try to get at it. You didn't get him enough. You don't feel like you didn't get to hit him. So.
And now he's got to go for LeBron and LeBron's wife because he feels slighted because he feels like his songs didn't do enough.
Right. Now you come back to LeBron. LeBron like, hey, man, what I got to do? Almost like that 50%, 50 cent meme I would do it. Why you say that me for?
Yeah, exactly.
Live to the game. Hey, come on, man. Oh, funny. Man. She agrees with me. I agree, Jenny. They all need to grow up. Yeah, man. He's a 30, 40-year-old man. Come on.
It's true. Okay. They are young. They aren't young dudes anymore.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Everybody tightened up.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, can you guys talk about the Chiefs out of the game? Sorry, Maria, we left you out of it. I will say this, Maria, okay? On Wednesday, we'll have a little bit more extensive talk into what this Chiefs game is on Saturday, okay? Didn't mean to leave you out of it. We just talking about a few things. But I will say this, Maria, okay? The Chiefs know what they have to do. It is very important that we don't overlook this opponent. We got to focus on the Houston Texans because they are a very, very good football team. They're a very serious team. And we will be a fool not to take this team serious. So what you've heard from Travis Kelce, you've heard how Andy has been approaching this, how they practice. He was talking about going one-on-ones. They've been full pads. They've been practicing hard because they are forging themselves to get ready for this three-peat. Okay? That is what's going on. And like you said, we'll get into it a little bit more on Wednesday to just kind of talk about it. But I'm going to ask you, Maria, how about that? Maria, this is to you. Give me a question you want me to ask, you want to ask me. I want you to give me something. Some of your concern, whatever it is that you have. I know you have a question for us. So you want to get back on topic? I want you to give me something. Think about it real quick. Okay?
And plus, before we talked about that, we talked about the Chiefs for the game, a little bit of the game for about 45 minutes to an hour. So
you did. It's all right. Hey, we just
press the rewind button, Maria.
Yeah, that's all right. Come on back with us. Hey, we're here. So Charles Driver's a Chiefs win, but I'm still nervous about it. Nothing to be nervous about. Nothing to be nervous about at all, man. Look, we've been in this place before. We had to go on a road last year and go win probably in the toughest road games you ever had to do. And we did it. We did it, and we brought home a championship. So that run last year solidified us into saying, first off, we're a dynasty, but number two is these guys don't bleed for anybody. They just don't. So they're not worried. They're probably talking about some of the stuff that we're talking about on this show as well, about the whole Drake thing, all this, you know, things that's out here. But their minds is focused on this game. So you're welcome. You're welcome, Maria. So we love it all. Appreciate it, Gary. Appreciate you, brother. Appreciate it.
But like JD said, Wednesday is going to be our full-on Chief Concerns preview show of the divisional round game. This was kind of a little taste of that. So you guys be ready to bring the A game on Wednesday because JD and I will be previewing the game. So, yeah. So Monday, the show without the grades, it was kind of leading up to you guys to say any comments. We were just kind of taking what you guys had and going with it. So you just hopped in, rewind the show, and you'll see all the comments and stuff we talked about prior to the Drake and Kendrick Lamar conversation.
Yeah. But let me say bye to everybody out here, Marcus. I know we're about to go ahead and end the show because I know you got to get back. And also, if y'all didn't get to hear, Marcus's father is dealing with a situation right now. Him and his family, please keep him in your prayers and thoughts. And just, you know, get on your knee to say something really good to from your lips to God's ears. And so, Marcus, we're going to hold you up, hold you and your family up, and we keep supporting you and your father, man. We love y'all. But good to see, you know, Andrea Chenault, Witchie Hall, Mike Brennan, Charles Driver, Rick Henderson, G. Pick, Gary Holland, Wendy, Maria DeJohnez, About Time, The Barbershop, Lonnie Pyramid, Kevin. It's good to see you as well. Greg Rose, Sasha is in here. Appreciate it. Hearts and Roses, Optimistic James. Good to see you walked in. Also, too, let me see who else got. Neff, always good seeing you. Rick Ledoux. Neff, I'll give you a shout out to this. Let me see who else we got in here. That's the ones I can see right now. I said G-Pick already, I think. But Choco G is in here as well. It's kind of hard, you know, when you're running through this. Lynn Julian is here as well. Mike Brennan, good to see you, my brother. Let me see, get up here toward the top. I said Wendy, I think, already. And listen, new life every day. Good to see you as well. It's a new one. I haven't seen that name here before. Lego My Ego, No Name is in here as well. But listen, y'all know what it is. Look, we always have a good time to come talk. We're going to get over and check his game out. Apparently, I guess the Rams, I'm not even seeing it, so they must be handily getting beat right now. Right, Marcus? Is that what it is?
Blowout, 24-3 so far.
Woo-wee! The Rams.
Rams landing on Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold is losing a lot of money as this game continues to go. 2 weeks in a row looking like dog crap. He lost some money, JD. He lost a little bit.
He going to get that Baker money?
I don't know. After these two performances, oh no, he's lucky he gets Baker money. he'll get a Baker's dozen. That's what he's getting.
Hey, but him and Baker might find themselves in the same place, ain't they? You gonna call Baker and see where they vacationing there? Hey, Baker. Hey, right, move over. Come here. I'm gonna have a seat with you. Okay, I'm gonna figure out how you talked him out of $30 million or whatever you got. Okay, how was you able to get him, Baker? Well, I had Mike Evans and, you know, Bucky Irvin and you know, Chris Godwin. I had a lot of guys around me, man. That's what they're going to take. Man. He got him up there, too, in Minnesota. He shouldn't be getting beat like that. That's crazy.
Two games in a row looking like this, too. And I haven't seen – I don't know what kind of blitz schemes they're throwing at him, but Minnesota or Detroit gave it to him good last week, the blitz packages. I don't know what's going on with this game, but, yeah. Man.
Had to go see, man. But listen, love you guys. Y'all take care. God bless. Y'all check everything out. We will see you on Wednesday night, Marcus.
Okay. Night.
All right, Marcus. Listen, hey, take it slow, my brother. All right. We all there with you. Prayers in our hearts is with you.
I appreciate y'all. Love the chat. You guys. You guys would be the world to us. And I'll definitely show my pops the love and all the comments for everybody in the chat. So I really appreciate it. Love you guys, and we'll see you guys Wednesday night.
All right. Y'all be good.
Easy. Hey, hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.